At least 81 people have died from a coronavirus outbreak that originated in the Chinese province of Hubei. All of those deaths have been in China, but on Sunday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed a fifth case of the disease in the United States. Chinese authorities are facing criticism for not containing the outbreak in time. Many remember how the government there covered up the extent of another epidemic, SARS, which caused at least 774 deaths worldwide in the early 2000s. Susan Jakes covered the story for Time magazine at the time. She's now editor of China File and senior fellow at Asia Society's Center on the U.S.-China Relations. She's in Hong Kong and joins us on Skype. And Susan, what is the mood there like in Hong Kong right now?
In Hong Kong, I would say people are starting to be fairly alarmed. When you go out on the streets in Hong Kong, everybody is wearing a face mask. Schools have been canceled in Hong Kong for the next couple of weeks, extending the Lunar New Year holiday. And people are pretty downbeat, although there have only been a handful of cases of people infected with the virus here in Hong Kong.
We're also hearing that protests are still continuing in the streets of Hong Kong, maybe not as many people as there were in the past, but people still out.
That's right. There have been continuing protests.
I want to ask you about SARS. We remember the outbreak of SARS in the early 2000s. It was a coronavirus as well. How similar is today's disease as far as we know?
There's a lot that we don't yet know about this virus. I think structurally, they are both in this family of viruses called coronaviruses, which also include, you know, versions of the common cold. And I guess the viruses are genetically similar. But beyond that, there's just so much that we don't know yet. We don't yet know the origin of the virus. There's suspicion that it may have come from animals in a live animal wet market, but that hasn't been established yet. So we don't know that much about how similar it is in terms of its infectiousness or its fatality rates. So the fatality rate for SARS was about 10%. You know, we're just beginning to have
Those numbers now. Exactly.
And we probably won't have a real sense for quite a while because, the hospitals in Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the outbreak, are just now beginning to get adequate supplies of diagnostic kits. It sounds like some people are asymptomatic and they can still be infected with it and spread it to other people. And there's also not yet a consensus about how long the incubation period is for the virus.
In 2003, you broke the story of how the Chinese government was suppressing information about the outbreak of SARS. Has China been handling communication this time around differently?
Yes. I think that there have been some improvements. There's definitely been swifter communication with the World Health Organization. And yet, there are some troubling parallels. You know, during SARS, the beginning of the outbreak was in November of 2002 in southern China, and the disease then spread pretty rapidly through southern China and into Hong Kong. And there were, by mid-spring, about 3,000 cases, and there had been about 300 people that died. But the line from the central government in Beijing was that there were only a handful, about a dozen cases in Beijing, and that there had been no local transmission, that people, that all the people that were sick in Beijing had come there sick from other places. And that turned out to be not at all true. And we learned from a whistleblower who was a very high-ranking, very senior military surgeon that at the same time as China's health minister was on television saying that there were only a dozen cases and there'd been no local transmission, in fact, at one hospital alone, there were 60 cases of whom most were medical workers who had been infected by the patients that they were treating.
It makes me wonder, I mean, do the Chinese people trust what they're hearing from the government then about this coronavirus?
I think there is a lot of skepticism. And the complicated part about this outbreak is that it also, the people who are the public health officials and the doctors who are attempting to respond to this crisis are also dealing with imperfect information. Mm-hmm. So many people suspect that the number of cases is much higher than what's being reported, but whether that's a matter of concealing cases or not having the means to diagnose all of the cases or some combination of the two, we don't quite know. What does seem to be clear is that there was human-to-human transmission taking place earlier this month, and that wasn't reported to the public or even necessarily to the central government in a timely manner. And just today, the mayor of Wuhan sort of apologized for that and basically said it's difficult to report bad information up the chain of command.
Mm-hmm. I also want to ask you one last question. In the U.S., we're, of course, focused on the cases that have been confirmed here. But do you have a sense of how people closer to the source are feeling? I'm thinking about China's neighbors or other parts of East and Southeast Asia.
I think that there is concern. I mean, just in Hong Kong, which, of course, is part of China, but is also somewhat separate from the mainland, I think there's a lot of concern about people traveling from the areas where there's the greatest number of people are infected. And here there has been some pressure on the local government to close the border, and actually the decision was made today to bar people from Hubei province, which is the province where Wuhan is, from coming into Hong Kong. So I suspect that we may see more of that kind of thing in the coming days, because there are just so many people on the move in Asia.
Right. That's Susan Jakes, editor of China File and senior fellow at Asia Society's Center on U.S.-China Relations. Susan, thank you for this update.
Pleasure to be with you.